presidential candidate Senator Panfilo Lacson and Partido Reforma part ways. The Commission on Elections commits to resolve all pending cases against the presidential bid of Ferdinand Marcos Jr. by next month. Ukrainian leader Vladimir Zelensky again calling for global unity a month into the Russian invasion. And as we continue to honor remarkable women this whole month of March, we'll speak with content creator Mona Magno-Veluz. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Hey, thanks for joining us. For those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, nice to have you with us today. We begin with a big development in the camp of presidential candidate Senator Panfilo Lacson. He has quit the party supporting his bid, Partido Reforma, but asserts he is not backing out of the race for Malacañang. We're now joined by our correspondent, Chat Antzaga, for that story. Chat, go ahead.
Yes, Carmina, Senator and presidential Senator Panfilo Lacson officially announced his resignation as chairman and member of Partido Democraticong Reforma just today during a press briefing in General Santos City. In his announcement, he said he emphasized that he is not withdrawing his presidency. He will just be running as an independent candidate. Lacson said that this is the rightful decision and that he feels reinvigorated and relieved that he can run the campaign with his running mate, Senator Vicente Soto III, and other senatoriables to continue to support him until the end. Lacson said he doesn't feel ill towards the party president, former House Speaker Pantaleon Alvarez, and the rest of the Reforma members. In fact, he said he will continue to pray for them and their families. On his part, Soto believes that having a party will not greatly affect their campaign. This morning, the tandem Lacson-Soto went around the city public market together with Senatoriable Manny Puñol. The Maranao organization at the city public market showed their full support to Lacson-Soto tandem. And earlier this morning, Lacson-Soto visited Jensen Fishport and had a quick meet and greet with the employees.
Lalo ako nagkaroon ng drive eh. Actually, you know, hindi ako frustrated. Wala akong feeling ng frustration or disappointment. In fact, parang na-reinvigorate na eh. Parang I now feel relieved na I can run my campaign along with the Senate President Tito Soto, Secretary Piñol, and the other senatorial candidates who are still willing to stay with us, ano, in our campaign. Ako pinakasanay na maging independent. Masi sa trabaho, lagi ako independent. At the risk of being hated by some political personalities, I continue to be independent. Kasi talaga independent-minded ako.
Carmina?
Thanks a lot. Chat and Sage there joining us on the line. Take care, Chat. And back here in the newsroom, after a successful campaign rally in Tarlac, Vice President Lenny Robredo heads back to Mindanao to woo voters in Davao del Sur. Our correspondent Adrian Ayala now joins us with an update. Adrian, go ahead.
Hi, Carmina. We are here in Davao region. Vice President Lenny Robredo was in Digo City at the Davao del Sur Coliseum this morning. She was with Senator Francis Pangilinan. It's a Davao region for today for VP Lenny and her team. She was again in Digo this morning, but after lunch this afternoon, we are expecting VP Lenny to visit Tagum City in Davao del Norte. Here in Tagum City, we are again expecting the governor, Edwin Hubahib, to welcome VP Lenny and her party. We are still waiting for the developments from Tagum City, from Governor Hubahib, who was mentioned by Senator Ping Lacson, according to Senator Ping Lacson said, the party, Partido Reforma of Governor Hubahib and of Davao del Norte First District Representative Pantaleon Alvarez will be shifting alliances to an unnamed presidential candidate. But, well, we can connect the dots, Carmina. But what we do know so far is that VP Lenny is expected to be here in Tagum City and will be welcomed by Governor Hubahib himself. So again, we are still waiting for developments. That's how we are. That's how local politics comes into play in national elections. VP Lenny is accepting endorsements from local officials, and of course, from ordinary volunteers in Digo City. Just this morning, the supporters from the Robredo People's Council held a rally at the Coliseum, which has a seating capacity of 5,000. It was filled with supporters. And also, there's no event in Davao City, but there's a Davao City contingent in Digos. Again, Davao region, this has a huge voting population, around 3 million. So it's really important for the team of VP Lenny to campaign here in Davao region. Carmina?
Yes, Adrian, any sense, though, that the VP's headquarters is preparing for this eventual meetup? As you pointed a while ago, there is talk that the former Speaker Pantaleon Alvarez is going to be there as well, and this has sort of formalized the shift of allegiances. But any sense that the HQ itself is preparing for that? Adrian?
I'm sorry, Carmina. Here, most of the, again, this is a volunteer driven campaign in the Davao region, again with the Robredo People's Council holding a mini rally, not the usual big rallies, but again, as far as headquarters, there is really no headquarters, because again, this is a volunteer driven, but what we know so far is that VP Lenny will be going to the provincial capital, where she will be meeting with Governor Hubahib. This is, of course, a very interesting development.
Yeah, but Adrian, insofar as the campaign itself of the vice president, are you getting any sense that they are preparing for something big?
Yes, it's interesting to note that with the development with the press conference of Senator Ping Lacson, VP Lenny is coincidentally or incidentally also here in the Davao region. So again, interesting development in the campaign. You can see it's gaining momentum because of this possible endorsement, but let's see. The scheduled event is at 1 p.m. We are expecting some supporters also gathering in front of the provincial capital of Davao del Norte. Carmina?
All right, we're going to have to leave it at that. Our correspondent Adrian Ayalin there joining us on the line from Davao. Thanks, Adrian. Take care and you keep safe. From there, we're going to head on over now to Bulacan, where presidential candidate Isko Moreno is holding a motorcade. Our very own George Carino now joins us with more details. George, over to you.
Hi, Casey. Good afternoon. Presidential candidate Mayor Isko Moreno Dumagoso has yet to make a statement regarding the recent development involving Senator Panfilo Lacson. Right now, the group of Acción Democrático is on a motorcade here in this province, and they are scheduled to make a break around lunchtime. And his assistant secretary, Letlet Cercal, told us that the mayor will be available to make a statement regarding the matter. But when he was with us this morning before boarding the float, he told us that the greatest lessons that he had during the road since the campaign started was that he saw the beauty of the Philippines as he moved towards inner roads and smaller alleys of the Philippines. And he said that 2022 campaign experience proved to him that the Filipinos love him more and much better than what he had experienced when he ran for the Senate in 2016. Also, another topic that was discussed earlier was the complaints of vendors of Divisoria Market who said they will sue Mayor Dumagoso for selling the Divisoria Market. But according to the mayor, he's not afraid, and he will be very, very much eager to discuss the matter before the vendors. His only apprehension is probably this thing came up only after when he mentioned the $203 billion estate tax of the Marcoses. And he fears that his expose is somehow connected to the issue that is being brought against him by defenders of the Desoria. PC.
Thanks a lot, George Carino, there joining us on the line. Take care, George. Keep safe. Back here in the newsroom, President Rodrigo Duterte's political advisor urges him to endorse Ferdinand Marcos Jr. as the next president. His reason? So the chief executive would be protected from possible legal actions when he steps down from office. Jacinto Paras also believes a Marcos win will help Duterte in facing the International Criminal Court, which may continue its suspended investigation on the government's bloody war on drugs.
Well, I feel that Bongbong Marcos is the right candidate to endorse the president. First, I feel that loyalty and friendship is very important between two people. The president, in real politics, has one way or another has done favors to the Marcos family. He would be prevented from being harassed by people who will file Trump up charges.
Tinitingnan mo lang yung beneficyo sa'yo personally.
Because he has a choice. And that choice is just one of the many other reasons why he should support Bongbong Marcos.
Meanwhile, the chairman of Acción Democrático, the party of presidential candidate Francisco Isko Moreno Domagoso, wants Duterte to go after Marcos. He wants the president to order the Bureau of Internal Revenue to collect the Marcos family's unpaid estate taxes worth 203 billion pesos, or over $3.8 billion.
Sayang yan, nakapagpatayo sana ng mga ospital yan, nakapagpatayo sana ng mga paaralan yan. Marami, no? Kasi naman umutang tayo ng umutang. Di na natin alam nga kung saan tayo pupunta ng pondo. Ang daming krisis ngayon tayong kinakaharap.
The Commission on Elections commits to resolve all pending petitions against the presidential bid of Ferdinand Marcos Jr. next month. A total of 7 petitions were filed against the candidacy of Marcos. 6 have been junked by different COMELEC divisions, and several motions for reconsideration are pending before the OMBEC. Only the disqualification case filed by Pudno Nga Ilocano remains pending before a COMELEC division.
A decision on these cases, the consolidated cases, and as well as the case with the motion for reconsideration, will be decided before the election, but earlier, even before the end of April. Maybe the earliest will be the second week of April, the latest will be the third week of April.
The poll body also asserts it has not fallen victim to any attacks amounting to a security breach, but the COMELEC says it will not take the allegations lightly as it orders a review of its contract with Smartmatic. The possible poll victory of candidates coming from big business families raises conflict of interest issues. That's according to some political analysts. Data from the Nielsen and Intel had shown senatorial candidates Mark Villar and Senators Sherwin Gatchalian and Joel Villanueva are the top spenders of advertising on traditional media. The senatorial aspirants aired ads worth more than 1 billion pesos. That's from January 2021 to January 2022. That's even before the campaign period began.
The R86713 is stating is that to avoid conflict of interest, the candidates and later on, if they become members of the Senate and the House of Representatives, they have to actually resign from the board of trustees of the companies that their family owns. At the same time, also, they should not use their position, particularly if they become chairs of committees that decide on certain issues in the Senate or in the House of Representatives. They should not use their influence to actually protect their interests.
The camp of Vice President Lenny Robredo denouncing NTFL-CAC spokesperson Lorraine Badoy's red-tagging. Teddy Bagila Jr., who is part of Robredo's senatorial ticket, suspects Badoy is targeting Robredo because her presidential campaign is growing stronger. The former Ifugao congressman also says he will push for the abolition of the controversial anti-communist task force if he wins in the May polls.
the whole point nga of our program is let's focus on developing the countryside, the impoverished places, ancestral domains. Kasi nga, statistics would show that marami sa mga pumapasok sa rebelda, sabi daw nila, are katutubo. Because of what they're experiencing within their ancestral domains. So, yun yung ating tugunan. We may still have the same budget, not under NTF-LCAC, but let's give it to the Department of Agriculture, the National Commission for Indigenous Peoples, DepEd, bigyan ng edukasyon, no? Yung mga vulnerable groups to extremism.
And let's go back to our top story now. Presidential bet, Senator Panfilo Lacson resigning from Partido Reforma, now choosing to go on with this race as an independent. We're going to talk now to his spokesperson, former Congressman Ashley Acedillo. Ace, good afternoon to you. Thanks for joining us today. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Carmina, and good afternoon to all of our televiewers.
So I'm talking to you as a spokesperson of Senator Panfilo Lacson. That will continue, correct?
That will continue. That's correct.
And you will not leave his side?
Definitely not. I'm with him all the way.
When did the senator feel that there were cracks in the alliance?
Well, according to the press con on which we were monitoring a while ago, he already saw signs of it, as he said, early on, prior to today's announcement. So the last time I spoke, for example, with Speaker Alvarez was only last month, no? And it was still, there were no signs of that. So maybe I wasn't privy to the developments, especially in centered around Davao del Norte, because I'm based here in Manila. So maybe I missed some of those signs. But according to Senator Lacson, he saw it already, no? So he was already... But he kept it to himself, as he said, because he wanted to hear first, of course, from Speaker Bebot and those running or those in Reforma in Davao del Norte.
When was the last meeting that the senator had with former Speaker Bebot Alvarez?
Sorry, when was the last?
When was the last meeting? When did they had? When did they speak last before the announcement this morning?
Face to face, I think it was about a week ago. But for today, I think they only spoke via telephone. And as to their last face-to-face meeting, nothing of that sort was discussed pa naman eh. So I think this was a very late-breaking, short-notice development, no? Itong decision nga to for Partido Reforma to throw its support to another candidate.
Which came first, can you tell us, Ashley? His decision to resign from Partido Reforma or former Speaker Alvarez informing the senator of what they're about to do?
Well, the latter, of course. Because all of us, including myself, being the spokesman of Partido Reforma, were operating under the assumption that tuloy ang ano no tuloy ang suporta ng partido kay Ping Lacson. So we were all operating under that assumption, and in my case, as a spokesman, I was only informed shortly before the press con that there was indeed such a ano no development. But as far as I could gather, nagpaalam na si former Speaker Alvarez kay Senator Lacson, and then subsequently, siguro to this would probably be the less messy option rather than to split the party. Minabuti na ni Senator Lacson to resign as chairman.
Was this solely his decision, or was this the scenario that both men talked about to sort of pave the way for a graceful exit for the senator?
No, the decision to resign as party chairman was solely Ping Lacson alone.
All right. There was a point during his press conference this morning when the senator Ping Lacson said that he now feels relieved that he can now go on with, of course, this is not verbatim, but he can now go on campaigning with his vice presidential candidate, Senate President Vicente Soto III. So what was the situation before today? How was he feeling before today? Did he feel that already that there were not only cracks in the alliance, but also that it was sort of hindering him from campaigning?
Well, before I answer that, Carmina, I'd like to be very, very fair with the entirety of Partido Reforma. No?
Go ahead.
We are a national party. The segment represented by Speaker Bebot is largely centered around Mindanao, especially Davao del Norte and the nearby areas. Mm-hmm. So, mahirap naman lahatin ko yung Partido Reforma. Mm-hmm. But safe to say, and this coming from Ping Lacson mismo, na nararamdaman na kasi natin yung medyo paghina ng kanilang suporta early on, no? Before anything was official, before anything was communicated to the party chairman. And that was stated mismo by Ping Lacson in the press con earlier today.
Kasi hindi buo, secondly, hindi buo yung suporta. At noong una pa lang, alam na niya yon.
Early on. And when I say early on, siguro mga sometime this year, no?
Okay.
As opposed to last year na talagang all out naman ang suporta ng Partido Reforma. So, as to the question, why does he feel relieved? Eh, kasi nung nakikita na nga niya yung pagtumal nung suporta, it had to come to a particular conclusion. And this development today made that conclusion very clear already, that there had to be a parting of ways. And that being the case, being the former soldier and being the former sundalo that he is, napaghandaan na ni Ping Lacson ang eventuality na yan. Gaya nga ng sinabi niya kanina, we were also able to tap naman our other sources of support. We have what we call our Lacson Soto support group, and it's a nationwide network of supporters, no? Nung naramdaman na nga natin yung paghina ng suporta ng Partido Reforma, especially in the Davao del Norte area and in some parts of Mindanao, we had to mobilize also. So siguro masasabi natin na maluwag na ang pagtanggap dito, kasi at least malinaw na ang mga bagay-bagay, ano?
But here's the thing. But here's the thing, Ashley. He had another option, and that option was to further strengthen the party and really tell these party mates of his that he's the better candidate. Why didn't he do that?
Well, they know. Actually, Carmina, I don't know if you've read the statement or you come across the statement of former Speaker Alvarez.
Yeah, I saw it.
They themselves admit that indeed Ping Lacson is the better candidate, or the best candidate in fact. What actually motivated their decision was, you know, a pragmatic politics. They think that another candidate has a better chance of winning, which of course I disagree. Hindi pa naman tapos ang campaign period, no? And that was the primary motivation of their decision. It was not the realization that there was a better candidate, Carmina.
And as you referred to that statement, at the end of that statement, it was also very clear that they have shifted their, or about to shift their allegiance to Vice President Lenny Robredo. Can you confirm that to us, that this is a presidential candidate that Senator Panfilo Lacson was talking about a while ago?
No, I will not. I will not. No, I'd rather leave that to Speaker Alvarez and to his team, Carmina, no?
And I respect you for that. But do you think that that's eventually going to be, you know, the next chapter of this whole story that's developing right now? Because, as you know, the vice president is going to be in Davao. The governor is going to welcome her there, the governor that was mentioned by Senator Panfilo Lacson as well. So is it a foregone conclusion then?
Well, there's no point in beating around the bush. But like I said, and taking my cue, from my candidate. I would rather that they be the one to confirm that. Between you and me, we know naman that all indications point to that conclusion, but that is not a conclusion for me to make, Carmina. So I'll leave it at that.
Appreciate that answer.
But, one thing though, I could say, no, about this latest development, of course, some may view it from the perspective of adversity, and we will not discount that, no. At the same time, kami naman, we view it from the perspective that maybe Speaker Bebot and his team may have underestimated Panfilo Lacson as a candidate, and may have overestimated as well the chances of the next candidate that they're going to endorse. Now, that being said, this is a, and I will use your words, Carmina, no? This is a defining moment in the campaign. How that defines us, of course, will be up to us. Does this mean that we will desist? No. Will this be a challenge for us? Definitely. And like I told, and I actually addressed our team, no, before coming on board with this interview, I addressed our team internally, and I told them, this is a difficult time, but this is also an opportunity for us to be stronger. Remember, adversity always is an opportunity to test your character. And we should always come out of this in a positive way, because pinapakinggan ko kanina yung kandidato namin, no? Talagang neither his voice broke nor his was his concentration broken as well. So nakikita ko he's just very, very focused on pursuing this campaign, and it helped also that his katandem, no, yung kanyang partner for candidate for vice president, Tito Soto, was also there, and one of his senatorial candidates was there, and they were all in support of him. And I can only, you know, draw strength from that, Carmina, no?
All right.
Yung kandidato natin, hindi natitinag ito.
And speaking of hindi natitinag, you can say that about Senator Panfilo Lacson, but what about the other teammates, party mates, other members of the campaign? How big is the team now that we're looking at here? He has resigned from the party. Have there been other people, other party members, who are going to go with him?
He spoke already, at least in so far as the senatorial candidates are concerned under Reforma, and you're talking about Senator senatorial candidate Mingita Padilla. She will definitely stay. There's also General Guillermo Eleazar. He will definitely stay. Secretary Piñol already confirmed that he is sticking with the lineup of Ping Lacson. Ang tanong lang doon is about Congressman Monsur De Rosario, is also very close to Speaker Bebot. So that remains to be seen. Now, as to the other candidates, we'll see, Carmina. Now, this is still an early development. We need to see and take stock of things after the dust has settled. But suffice it to say, we are undeterred, and we will continue with our campaign, definitely.
All right, and we're going to have to leave it at that. Ashley Acedillo there, spokesperson of Presidential Aspirant Senator Panfilo Lacson. We appreciate you coming to the show, Ace. Thanks a lot. Take care.
Thank you, Carmina, and good afternoon to everyone.
All right, from there, we're going to take a break now. Up ahead, the latest on the Ukraine crisis. As Russia's invasion hits its first month, Dateline Philippines will be right back. Stay with us here on ANC. And we are back. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. Presidential candidate Senator Panfilo Lacson and Partido Reforma part ways. Lacson spokesman saying the party's decision to support another presidential contender came on short notice. The Commission on Elections commits to resolve all pending cases against the presidential bid of Ferdinand Marcos Jr. by next month. And Ukrainian leader Volodymyr Zelensky again calling for global unity a month into the Russian invasion. Ukraine and President Volodymyr Zelensky calling for global solidarity as he marks a month since Russia's invasion began. Zelensky says he will see who sells out at summits in Europe in the coming days. NATO, G7, and EU officials are set to meet with U.S. President Joe Biden at separate summits to discuss the conflict in Ukraine, though they're expected to bolster sanctions against Russia. Restrictions on oil may prove to be divisive, as Europe remains largely dependent on Russian gas.
I ask you to stand against the war. Starting from March 24th, exactly 1 month after the Russian invasion, from this day and after then, show your standing. Come from your offices, your homes, your schools and universities. Come in the name of peace. Come with Ukrainian symbols to support Ukraine, to support freedom, to support life. Come to your squares, your streets. Make yourselves visible and heard. Say that people matter, freedom matters, peace matters, Ukraine matters. From March 24th, in downtowns of your cities, all as one together who want to stop the war.
The NATO alliance seen to ramp up its military forces on its eastern flank. NATO chief Jens Stoltenberg says the first step is to deploy 4 new combat units in Bulgaria, Hungary, Romania and Slovakia. This development comes following reports Belarus may soon join Russia in its war against Ukraine. Stoltenberg says the alliance is ready to defend its members. He also warned Russia against using nuclear weapons and China from helping in the war.
China has provided Russia with political support, including by spreading blatant lies and disinformation. And allies are concerned that China could provide material support for the Russian invasion. I expect leaders will call on China to live up to its responsibilities as a member of the UN Security Council. Refrain from supporting Russia's war effort and join the rest of the world in calling for an immediate peaceful end to this war. Any use of chemical weapons would totally change the nature of the conflict. And it will be a blatant violation of international law and will have far-reaching consequences. And I think that's the most important message to convey.
Russia will seek payment in rubles for gas sales from what President Vladimir Putin called unfriendly countries that have imposed sanctions against Moscow. More in this report.
Vladimir Putin said on Wednesday that Russia will seek payment in rubles for gas sales from so-called unfriendly countries. His comments sent European gas prices soaring on concerns the move would exacerbate the region's energy crunch.
In the last few weeks, there were unlawful measures taken against Russia by a number of Western countries to freeze Russian assets. By doing this, the collective West has undermined the reliability of their currencies.
Russian gas accounts for around 40% of Europe's total consumption. The possibility a change of currency could throw that trade into disarray. Putin said the government and central bank had 1 week to come up with a solution on how to move these operations into rubles and ordered gas giant Gazprom to make the corresponding changes to gas contracts. According to Gazprom, 58% of its sales of natural gas to Europe and other countries as of the 27th of January were settled in euros. US dollars accounted for about 39% of gross sales and sterling around 3%. The European Commission has said it plans to cut EU dependency on Russian gas by 2/3 this year and end its reliance on Russian supplies of the fuel well before 2030. But unlike the United States and Britain, EU states have not agreed to sanction Russia's energy sector. Russia's list of unfriendly countries corresponds to those that have imposed sanctions on it.
Weather Bureau PAGASA has revised its definition of a super typhoon and its system for alerting the public on the strength of tropical cyclones. ABS-CBN resident meteorologist Ariel Rojas now joins us with details. Got that right this time, Ariel. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Carmina, and good afternoon. That is actually correct. Pangasinan revised its definition of a super typhoon. It has now lowered its threshold of super typhoon to 185 kilometers per hour or stronger compared to the previous threshold of more than 220 kilometers per hour. This is now similar to the threshold of the Joint Typhoon Warning Center of the USA or JTWC when converted to 10-minute averaging. There's a difference with how Pag-asa and JTWC averages the maximum sustained winds. Because of the amendment in the definition of tropical or super typhoon, Pag-asa's tropical cyclone wind signal was also amended. Now, each of the categories correspond to a wind signal. So tropical depression, the highest wind signal will be signal number one. For tropical storm, signal number two. For severe tropical storm, signal number three. For typhoon, signal number four. And for super typhoon, it remains signal number five. Now onto the weather. Weak northeasterlies are currently affecting northern Luzon, while the warm easterlies from the Pacific prevail over the rest of the country. The hot and humid weather conditions will continue today over most of the archipelagos. We would still be expecting thunderstorms this afternoon in Ilocos Region, Cordillera, Cagayan Valley, Zambales, Sokcergen, and Barm. Metro Manila will also continue to sizzle with low chance of rain today. As of now, we are not monitoring any weather disturbance that may form or enter the Philippine area of responsibility. That's the latest on the weather. This is Ariel Rojas. Good afternoon, and back to you, Carmina.
Thanks a lot, Ariel. We're going to take a break now. Still ahead, the first female U.S. Secretary of State and feminist icon Madeleine Albright has passed away. More on that when we come back. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. And we're back. Madeleine Albright, the first female U.S. Secretary of State and feminist icon, has passed away at the age of 84. Her family said she died due to cancer. In their statement, they called her a loving mother, grandmother, and sister, as well as a tireless champion of democracy and human rights. In 1993, then U.S. President Bill Clinton appointed Albright as America's ambassador to the United Nations. 3 years later, Clinton nominated her as the Secretary of State, where she served from 1997 to 2001. During her time as America's top diplomat, Albright traveled to Pyongyang to meet North Korean leader Kim Jong-il, becoming the highest-ranking U.S. official to visit the secretive communist-run country. After her career in government, she became a professor at Georgetown University. She also turned to writing, penning seven New York Times bestsellers. Well, she's been spewing fact after fact after fact in a platform almost taken over by falsehoods, her content viewed millions of times. Hard to believe she merely gave TikToking a try to give her grieving heart some respite from the sadness over the loss of her father. Watching her now, it's as if she was always meant to be Mighty Magulang, the bespectacled sage of Philippine social media. And she joins us now, one of the remarkable women we honor this month, Mona Magno Veluz, o diba? Mona, happy Women's Month to you. Thanks for joining us today. Welcome to the program.
Happy Women's Month, Carmina. I'm such a big fan of your work. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my goodness. Now you're making me a bit flustered. All right, let's move on. More than 400,000 followers on TikTok. How do you explain the phenomenon you've become?
I am not aware of how big this is. In fact, like you said, I started out, I started this as a self-indulgence to try to manage what was going on in my life. And right now, I'm just happy to continue what I've been doing. Mm. I have been a voice for truth. At least I would hope so. I love history. I love genealogy. I'm a research geek. And that is all that I am presenting myself as. I just want to infect others with this love for history and genealogy.
And infect you did. But that's all you, this love for history, this love for genealogy and all that good stuff. But it's different when you take that and make that into content for such a platform like TikTok. Talk to us about the process that goes into making your content.
I do have a lot of content based on the dates. So I have been doing genealogy for 20 years. So I have a database. Who was born on this date? Who died on this date? What happened on this date? So I really take my content from that. And when I have a topic, it is very challenging to condense someone's life into 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. And that is what that platform is, condensing such a huge and heavy content that I took so many hours to read into 2 minutes. And I think that's also why it resonates with many, because it allows people to understand the content, even if they didn't put in the work of studying that. And that's pretty much what that is. It is important for me to have the content in English because I do closed captioning. Disability inclusion is very important to me, and I'm glad that this show also honors that. And that takes time. So for every episode, it takes around 2 to 3 hours to come up with everything.
Imagine that. You know what else is amazing, Mona, is that you've found another life, another chapter to live while you're living this lifetime. Do you ever think of that, about your situation, and how does that make you feel?
I've always considered myself a Renaissance person. I don't want to be boxed into just one thing. Early on in my life, I was in corporate. My education took me to business and economics. I am very involved in an NGO. And I also am passionate about this particular topic. So I am not boxing myself into just that one career, as you see it. I look at myself as somebody who wants to learn every day and discover something new every day.
Mm. What do you tell people then, most especially women, who think that this is as good as it gets, who are maybe afraid to try new things, fearful of the judgment that might come?
Yeah, and I totally empathize with them. I feel that sometimes, but it takes a certain, leap of faith to go into something new. When I started TikTok, I was a lurker for about a year and a half. I was just consuming the content. And when I asked my children, should I get into this? And, is this a thing people dance and dub? I said, Mom, don't do that. So my kids were kind enough to teach me the technicalities of it. But the content was something I had to man up to. This is what I can talk about, history and genealogy. Even if no one was going to watch me, I'm good with that because this is what I love. So we have to be brave enough to chase our passions.
Now, as you said, you had to weigh things carefully because in the eyes of our kids, we're both mothers here, and we know there's a fine line that separates cringy from cool. Are you past that now? Do your kids think that you're cool?
Yeah, my kids have always thought I was cool. It's just they have to temper my enthusiasm. I'm very enthusiastic about things. There's a life. I used to be a bayanihan dancer.
Yes.
And my kids cannot, grasp that. So I have to temper who I am sometimes to make it acceptable to my children. But I think they know me well enough to understand that if I don't take their advice, it is for a good reason. And mommy feels very strongly about it.
And you said it yourself, though. You're a Renaissance woman, Mona. But, a Renaissance woman and being a mother, there's got to be some compromise there somewhere. But also, as you were raising your kids, did you ever feel that you got to rein yourself in or maybe even second-guess yourself if you're being a good model for your kids? And also, when it's their turn to sort of go out of the box and explore on their own, did you also have some anxiety regarding that?
My eldest son is on the autism spectrum, and there is nothing in the world that prepares a woman to hear that kind of diagnosis for their eldest child.
For sure.
So that was my first foray into, okay, we're treading new territory here. This was not in the plan, but okay, let's embrace it and move on. The reason why I use the term Mighty Magulang as my moniker is because it is important to be to be a good parent, and it is important for me to be empowered. And that has translated to many aspects of my life. It was kind of like a self-fulfilling prophecy when I selected that. And I selected that about 20 years ago. I've been on social media for that long. And, you know, back when you have to HTML your own, you know, blog, I did that. Mm-hmm. But it's really important to me. And I want to inspire other parents to feel the same way. Even if the world tells you that this is not possible, you're a woman. It's, you know, you should have other priorities. Mm-hmm. Isn't that cringy? And you will hear a lot of naysayers trying to bring you down. But if you are strong in your conviction and strong in your belief and in your vision, I think it's something that will work out. And this whole TikTok experience is just an example of that.
In one interview, Mona, you asked, why don't we know more about women in history? I'm going to throw the question back at you. Why do you think this is so, and why must this change?
From a genealogical standpoint, a lot of the research is lost when it comes to researching women. And I find that such a disappointment. Like we always know the history of those whose name we carry. So that's the men historically. Mm. And there's just so much history on women that was lost. And I've taken it upon myself to talk about the amazing women who were able to make their mark in a world dominated by men. I am very keen on researching mothers more than the men sometimes, because one, it's harder. Mm. And the discoveries, because they haven't been explored before, are usually bigger and more exciting.
Mm. Do you think there was a conscious effort as well to sort of bury that?
To a certain degree, I think that it. I don't think it was a conscious effort for people not to, you know, to be mindful of what their parents or what their mothers did, because they weren't, you know, they were at home. They didn't do a lot. So,
but Mona, I'm sorry to cut you there, but for the women in history that you've studied and brought to the fore, what do you think is common among all of them that will speak of what Filipino women are made of?
Oh, definitely. I think they were there because they were passionate about something and they were not afraid to track their own path. They were emotional sometimes, and they made that into their superpower. There were a lot of women in history who took their passions and kind of raised it to the next level. Fede El Mundo was one of the first doctors of the country. She was the first to come up with a pediatric hospital, and she continued to do that until she was well into her 90s. That's amazing. Mm. That is what you call passion, and that's something we have to emulate.
Do you think that things would have been different for us now had history been taught the way you're teaching it now? Something exciting. Something that really conjures and brings up all these kind of, you know, good imagination and really traveling back in time and making it interesting for the kids. What are your thoughts about how Philippine history is taught in schools?
Well, I believe Philippine history has been taken out of curriculum of grade school and high school students these days. So they're integrated into other subjects. So the kids today never consumed history the way I consumed it, which was a lot of memorization of dates and places and events. That was uninteresting, I must say. And it became interesting to me, history, when I put it in the context of what was relevant to me. So that was my starter kit. I took my family history and I tried to look at events around the people who were part of my ancestry. Mm. But I think for this generation, the storytelling is an important aspect. We have to understand that we do not learn the way this generation learns. Mm. And they do not read a lot. That is a sad discovery that I realized when I started putting citations and, you know, read this for enrichment. Nobody reads the links that I put up.
But hopefully things will be better as the years go by. Here's the thing, though, Mona, in less than 2 months, people will be electing the country's 17th president. If you had your way, how would you want the May 9, 2022 elections to be retold to future generations?
I think this elections is going to be one of the most historic and pivotal in our history. This is a point in time when a lot of our indices, economics, health are down. And whoever is going to be stepping up as the next president will take on all of this, these problems, as well as an environment riddled with historical revisionism and denialism. And that is a big challenge for the next president. I am hoping that while we are knee deep into this agenda and, you know, and the agendas of our candidates and rallying around our candidates, we have to remember, criteria. It has to be very clear to us. What are we voting for? Mm. I am clear on the fact that I am voting for my children. You know, I'm voting for their future. And my criteria has, my candidate has to meet my criteria. And I hope people do that, think more of their criteria rather than the personalities who present themselves.
Mona Magno Villu is one of the remarkable women we honor this month. Thanks for being with us today. Take care.
Thank you, Carmina. It's so much fun. Thank you.
All right. And that'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, you can play back this newscast on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on the News Channel.